grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our Psalm of the day, Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. And I'm going to ask you to read those together with me again. So if you would turn, please, to your worship bulletin on the front page. And we'll speak again in unison the words of Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. We say it together. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Matthew left his business. He left his business behind. He left his tax business behind. He had the potential, if it had not already happened, to make an awful lot of money. It was a very prosperous concession to be a tax collector. Thousands of copper coins and silver coins and even gold coins would have crossed over his hand. What could have made him, in our gospel lesson for today, possibly leave all of that? Well, you might say, Pastor, weren't you paying attention? Didn't you see the last verse of the psalm? Lord, your law, your word that talks about you is more to me than what? Thousands of silver and gold, thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And so there we have the answer, ready to go. Well, maybe almost. We have to go a little bit further before we get there. Psalm 119. Interesting psalm on a number of levels. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 is located just about in the center of the Bible. Psalm 119 is divided into 22 sections of 8 verses, each corresponding to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each of the 8 verses in each section begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Interesting facts. But if we go beyond what is merely interesting, what you'll see there is that every verse of the psalm with, I used to think it was one, but I think it's two now, two exceptions to all those verses, every other verse mentions the word of God in some way or another. And more than that, all of those verses, with the exception of only one, mentions the Lord himself. It's like the whole psalm, longest chapter of the Bible, is saying something to you. If you get away from the details and you just step back, look at the forest instead of just the trees, it's saying this. Friend, it is not enough just to live how you're going to live and do what you're going to do and be what you're going to be and pursue what you're going to pursue and want what you're going to want. Sooner or later, every aspect of your life is going to be referred back to what the good Lord has said. It's going to be referred back to the good Lord himself. Well, if you are a Christian person, you know the truth of Psalm 119, verse 65. What does it say? Lord, you have dealt well with your servant. This is something a Christian person knows. You sing about it in a hymn. How does the hymn go? Praise God from what? Whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above you, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You sing about it in a hymn. You saw it with your own eyes today. You saw in holy baptism the Lord reaching down and choosing a little one, a young man, for his own. You know that the Lord has dealt well with you because every time you come to Holy Communion, you receive Jesus' body and you receive Jesus' blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins in that sacrament of Holy Communion. Lord, you have dealt well with your servant. I know that to be true. And yet, if you read the words of the psalm for today, you'll recognize that there are a few other things that enter into the picture. Twice in those words, you hear the word afflicted. Not only that, you hear these words. The psalm writer says, the insolent smear me with lies. Seems to be a national pastime, doesn't it? But the insolent smear me with lies. Insolent, an interesting word. It pops up quite often in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word zeed, Z-I-Y-D, zeed. And what it means is to seethe like a pot seethes on the stove. You might want to think of a pot of spaghetti. You make a pot of spaghetti sauce and you don't put the cover on it, and what happens? It spatters all over the place, all over. And so it is with seething people, insolent people. They're not happy unless they're stirring up some kind of mischief, unless they're canceling their opponents. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, it says. They're not bothered by their conscience. It is fun for them to make life miserable. They're miserable, and they want other people to be miserable as well, too. And so what does a believer do? Well, you pray. You say, Lord, please protect me. You say, Lord, please defend me. You say, Lord, please bring to nothing their attacks. You say, Lord, please vindicate me. And those are all prayers that you will find in the Bible, and because they're in the Bible, they're legitimate prayers. A Christian person can pray those things. But if you look at the words of the psalm for today, from Psalm 119, what you see is the psalm taking us just a step further. Twice the word afflicted is mentioned, but this is what it says. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, this individual, much like Matthew in his tax booth, enjoyed prosperity. He enjoyed prosperity, and it brought a lot of things into his life, but after a while he began to recognize something else, and that is that all of this prosperity also brought in a tendency to wander, to turn away, to no longer seek after the Lord. This is one of the places where God's word and just general human experience speak with one voice. There's a recognition in both, that prosperity brings with it a host of temptations. Martin Luther, the fellow that our church is named after, was fond of quoting a German proverb. I don't know it in German, but in English it goes like this. It takes broad shoulders to carry good times. Now, we think it takes broad shoulders to carry bad times. That might be true, too. But it takes even broader shoulders to carry good times. Because when the good times come and they flow and there's prosperity following prosperity, it is easy for a human being to become conceited. It is easy for you and me to be superior. It is easy for us to be indulgent of our pleasures as if that was the reason why God put us on this earth. It is easy to become forgetful of the Lord. It is easy to fall in love with the world. It is easy to become deaf to the corrections of God's holy word. Another psalm writer said it, Psalm 30. He said, "As for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved." Famous last words. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray," today's psalm. "But now, I keep your word. I keep your word." Take it a step further, though. He also says, "Lord, it was good for me that I was afflicted." Now, those are words that are kind of hard coming out of your mouth. "But it was good for me that I was afflicted." He's not saying I enjoyed it. He's not saying I looked forward to it. He's not even saying I want it to happen again. He's just simply looking back and seeing God's guiding hand and directing hand and how the Lord was working in all of these things. He's seeing that how in the afflictions, the difficulties, the troubles, the problems that he went through, the struggles with sin, how God brought him back from his wanderings. He sees how he was humbled before God and came to know his true state as a sinful person. He was shown how vain this world is, and when the Bible uses that word, it's not talking about being haughty about your beauty, it's talking about the world being empty and being fleeting, and sometimes, let's be honest, downright nonsense, downright foolishness. The fellow found that his heart was softened to remember again what he learned of the Lord as a child. Because sometimes in adulthood we wander off. His ear was open finally to listen for the Lord's voice, because there's a million other voices out there. But Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. "It was good for me to be afflicted," he says, "because now I can finally see." Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. "That the Lord disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later on, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so Psalm 119, verse 66, "Lord, I believe your word." Verse 67, "Lord, I'll keep your word." Verse 68, "Lord, teach me your statutes." Verse 69, "With my whole heart I keep your precepts." Verse 70, "I delight in your law." Verse 71, "Lord, I learn your statutes." And what you want to understand there, that in every way, this is not just somebody saying, "Well, I'm going to follow the rules." This is instead somebody who is seeking the Lord, trusting the Lord, delighting in the Lord, hearing the Lord. And so, verse 65, the very first verse of our little section of Psalm 119, it says, "Lord, you have dealt well with your servant." I know that. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that Jesus washed me clean in his blood. I know that Jesus gave me his Holy Spirit to believe. I know that the Lord Jesus had me be baptized. I know the Lord Jesus feeds me with his body and blood. And I know that he does other things as well, too. But together with all of that, what do you see? You see that for a Christian person, when we talk about God dealing well with us, we're not talking primarily about, "Well, God made my life prosperous." That is not primarily what it means for us. What it means for us is that whether there's prosperity or whether there's difficulty or challenge, I have the Lord Jesus. I have my Savior. I know Jesus. And so the psalm ends, "It is good for me, Lord, that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." One word from your mouth, Lord, one word from you, having you instead of all other things, that outweighs all the words of hostile people. That outweighs all the actions of insolent people. That weighs more for me on the scale than all the gold and silver of the world scraped together in one pile. That's what made Matthew leave the tax collector's booth to go with the Lord Jesus. Because you know how it is. The bigger the pile of gold and silver or whatever else it is, the more temptation, the more vanity, the more chance for eternal loss, the more chance that you never reach everlasting life, which, by the way, gold is so common there that what do they do with it? They pave the streets with gold. A Christian knows, "Lord, I know where my treasure is. You've already dealt well with your servant. I see it every time I look at the cross. You've dealt well with me. Lord, you are good. You do good. You have saved me. You are my treasure. You are my thousands of pieces of silver. You are my thousands of pieces of gold. And you are far more than all of that put together." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.